Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is November 29th, 2018.
The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Did you hear the sound of the shofar? Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is
620-878-4682, and the emergency number is 316-619-4886.
You seemed like you was wandering around a little bit.
I was looking for something.
Well, anyway, you can always find updates for the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Folks, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the internet. It's on YouTube and some FM stations. Let's pray about supporting airtime. Airtime, we did pay off November. We are now coming up in just a couple of days with December being due. So, on another
Let's thank our listener base that's worldwide in places like International Airport, Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, Auckland, New Zealand, Helsinki, Finland, Dublin, Ireland, and, of course, the good old cities of the USA, such as Buffalo, New York, Cincinnati, Ohio, Fort Worth, Texas, New Orleans, Louisiana, okay, duh.
L.A.
L.A. is Los Angeles, so I know.
If it's like that after a thing.
I know, and I've been to New Orleans, so I know that. It's just my brain don't stop. Anyway, in Wichita, Kansas, still remains the largest group of listeners to the radio program when it podcasts later tonight.
I'm going to send you home with that so you can reread it about 50 times so you can get used to it.
Okay. Well, you change it. I didn't see New York on there.
Well, of course I changed that part of it, but I don't change the rest of it, dear. Anyway, follow us and share us on Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not ours. And please give everyone out there ears to wish to hear the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Say hello to the people.
Shalom.
Well, if you haven't figured it out yet, folks, that's my wife. And she's on with me at least 3 times a month. And we also on a Mega Man radio program usually twice a month. In fact, he's waiting for me to send him dates for us today or whenever I get around to sending them because he sent me a text today. Anyway, we were gone last week. We missed you. Did you miss doing radio last week or were you just too busy?
I missed a lot of things. But yeah, I missed home for sure.
You missed home for sure. Well, why is that? Speak up and speak to the phone.
Because I was cooking from Tuesday to Wednesday. This year I didn't have any help, I can't say any help.
That's a complete fib.
But I had to just about beg for it, and I finally got my husband and the other associate pastor to come in and help. But other than that, it was me in the kitchen alone this year.
Yeah, well, I kept thinking, and we're, folks, for the record, we're talking about Thanksgiving. She didn't bring that up. Anyway,
yeah.
for the record, in my own defense, I honestly thought that she had help because she kept saying something about some ladies coming and this other thing. So I honestly thought that she had help. And but anyway, yeah, I know what it's like. I peeled 50 pounds of potatoes. So anyway, moving right along.
Amen to that.
So
we did a total of 275 pounds plus of turkey, and I don't have the exact number because I had another Bible study group that cooked five turkeys and deboned them for me and brought them ready to go. And then I had another gentleman that did two turkeys for me, and then another gentleman did one turkey, and then I did all the rest of them. So the total of the 275 is just what I did and the other gentleman that did two and the other gentleman that did one did. I don't know for sure how many pounds the other five were. So it was probably more like closer to maybe 350. I don't know, but I know for sure it was 275 plus. And then I did about 5 gallons of brown gravy.
Okay,
and the reason
we're going to go through this list now.
And the reason the gravy was so brown this year is because I have so much cranberry sauce, you wouldn't believe it. And I had a case donated this year, too. So I just went and put two cans of cranberry sauce in every turkey, and I cooked nine. So that took care of some of it, but I still got a whole shelf full. And we sliced up 8 cans one day and 4 cans the next day. So we put a dent in it, but I still have tons of cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
And he's telling me, don't tell me I got gallons in the back closet. I don't want to know that. I don't want to know that. Okay? I'm going to figure out a cranberry cake or something and make them treats or something. Then we did 50 pounds of potatoes and 50 pounds of fresh carrots that I had peeled in, on a Tuesday from a volunteer, so I didn't have to peel the potatoes, the carrots, or the sweet potatoes. Other than that, and they help with the dressing.
Now, wait a minute.
Okay.
Greg had to peel the sweet potatoes.
Yeah, he peeled 25 pounds of sweet potatoes, and I did 7 dozen angel eggs.
Who did the carrots? Who cut up all the
Mike, that's what I was going to say. Mike peeled those, and me and him peeled them and cut them up, but he did the biggest majority of them Tuesday because I went Tuesday and cooked and opened and fed Tuesday goulash, and I don't even remember what I had. I had so much food. But anyway, we fed those leftovers out on Thanksgiving, too. And we did...
What are angel... now, you know...
The world calls them devil eggs, but we don't do devils. And ever since we don't do devils, I've always called them angel eggs. Anybody that knows me knows they're angel eggs. So anybody that knows me knows what they are. And they're delicious. But we're angels, not devils. Okay, and then we did 18 dozen rolls and 8 cans of black olives and 2 jars of green olives, 6 jars of sweet pickles, and 2 jars of dill pickles. Then I did 2 big pans of homemade dressing that I made, me and Craig and Danny made, Pastor Dan made. I can't leave them out because they helped crumble up that bread and chop them onions and celery up, but and then I had another lady.
That's a big portion of making this. Oh, like we just barely.
I spiced it and mixed it all up,
like
with the eggs and the crackers and all the others.
I had an abundance of biscuits
that I get from where I get the donuts. They do biscuits and gravy, and she gives me all her leftover biscuits. Well, I opened the freezer. I didn't have much bread and not much money left, so I opened the freezer and seen all those biscuits. I said, dressing! And it worked out. So the Lord knows our needs. But anyway, I had another lady that did one small pan of homemade dressing, and then I did a big, large pan of green bean casserole, and I had the group did 2 small pans of green bean casserole. And then another one in their group did a small pan of rice broccoli casserole,
okay.
Which, by the way, everybody loved that rice broccoli casserole. That was the bomb. I didn't get to try it,
but I had a lot of
comments about that casserole. So if you're listening, that rice broccoli casserole was really, really good.
Yeah, amen. Although I wouldn't know. All I know is it was gone. I was going to try some, but it was gone.
And then I did a veggie mix with 3 bags of big bags of veggie mix with carrots, broccoli, and cauliflower, which was right around 12 pounds.
Okay, stop a minute. We'll talk. Oh, see, we can pick back up there in a minute. Backing right up there, the homemade dressing was great. I mean, you know, but this was a very, very huge meal. That's what I was going to talk about. Your green bean casserole. It's always good, but this year it was really, really dynamite. Everybody loved it. I really picked out. In fact, the first plate up that I ate, I ate 3 because I was just going to snack. I just had, I kept filling them, three little dessert plates. I kept refilling them and refilling and refilling, and it was mostly all was the wonderful vegetables that you had, but it was mainly that green bean casserole. That was, what'd you do different?
Well, nothing. You just paid more attention this year. A few years back, maybe about, oh, probably when we moved into this building. I know Mom was, no, I don't think Mom was, yeah, it was when we moved into this building. Mom passed that year. But you switched off. You don't like cream of mushroom soup anymore. So everything that I used to put cream of mushroom soup in, I'll either use cream of celery or cream of chicken or both, depending on what it is. And that just happens to get both. Green bean casserole is made with cream of chicken and cream of celery. And I get a 2-pound bag of the fried onions, and I mix half the bag in with the stuff, and then the other half goes on top. So.
Well, I don't know. It seemed like it was better than last year, but
it's so
it was
easy
really,
to make.
Really good. And so, yeah, anyway, so you can pick it back up.
Then we had two number 10 cans of sweet buttered corn, and I made two pineapple upside down cakes, and then we get our pies donated, and we had 14. We used 12 of them. And the ladies, the group that bought the turkeys and stuff, they made 10 dozen fresh-made cookies, and everybody scarfed them. Plus, one of them made a small batch of chocolate peanut butter candy that everybody was going after. We could have probably got rid of a couple pounds of that easy.
Yeah.
That was delicious. And then, we just had fun with the people.
Yeah, well, so moving on. It took, which actually turned out, I noticed it as a blessing in the people ship, because we're going to put some pictures up on YouTube later on tonight that we took. But, you know, it will, some of the pictures, you know, I looked at them at first, and I thought, because Elijah was taking pictures of people sitting down, I thought, well, wow, that looks weird. I know we had a lot of people, but where's all the people?
They were standing in line.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to get
the same thing.
You're getting too used to radio. You're supposed to wait till I get done talking. Now she's just, folks, now she's talking normal. She's not letting me get a word in edgewise. Anyway, point being is, yeah, that's where all the people were at. I mean, you know, at any given time, there was probably only a third, until the very end, there was probably only a third of the room was filled up, which we have, you know, about.
We have 40 chairs, but they fit about 50, 55 people in there standing and sitting on the
benches,
because we have two, one of our members that help volunteers that comes, also cleans realtor property, and they did an office downtown, and he got a great big giant redwood office desk that he made two real long, beautiful benches out of. So I imagine at least they at least hold five people on each bench, and they sit on those too. Plus I got a couple other chairs sitting around here and there.
Okay, let me finish my chain of thought. Anyway, so as I was saying, folks, it looks like, it looks like that, you know, there's only about, you know, a third of the room full, but in reality, I timed it. I looked at it. It took, the people from the beginning till the last person was served through the line, and there was always people in line, clear up to the last, you know, it was about 2 hours and 15 minutes at least. It took for everybody from start to beginning just to get through the line. So when people came out and sit down, you know, to eat their meal, you know, they had plenty of room.
And most of them have been coming quite a lot. They know there's limited space. So they'll come and they'll eat and they'll leave, give the space to somebody else. And they do that on regular days too. They'll either, some of them even just fill up on the egg sandwiches and leave so people can come and sit for dinner. And some of them don't even show up till 4:30 for the dinner, and they get it and go.
Right. Okay. And let's back up on this. So why did it take, I mean, you just handed a plate of food to somebody. Why does it take 2 hours for people to get through a line? How? Tell us about the line.
Well, you got to put a little bit of everything on. A little bit. Did I say a little bit?
Okay, well, wait a minute.
Let's
back up.
Everything on the plate.
I'm going to pull it, Linda, and I'm going to interrupt her. No, it's like this. What I here's the point. You said a little bit on the plate. You allowed them to take their time and pick out what they wanted? You
yeah.
just didn't slop it on?
On Thanksgiving, I do. They can have what they want. I don't want to put anything on there they don't like, and that's what Thanksgiving is about. You eat what you like, and you eat as much as what you want, so.
So they got to pick what they got on their plate. So That's time consuming.
I even did it different this year and saved all the legs and put them in a separate pan and all the wings and put them in a separate pan, and they loved it. They all went, or they requested a leg or a wing or both, and they got that plus about a pound of turkey on their plate.
Yeah, now let me tell them about the turkey on the plate. When you look at the videos, folks, then it'll be over at the, I'll put a link to it over at the pastor's page too, but it'll be all over the place. But the point is on these trays, these huge trays that she had, these throwaway trays that we had, there was a huge pile of potatoes, a huge pile of dressing, and a huge pile of turkey. And I don't even know how people were eating it, but they were eating it all, believe me. And with gravy over it, and that was just half of the plate, and the other half had the other things on it. But I bet that right there weighed a couple of pounds between the mashed potatoes and the turkey and the dressing.
Those plates weighed 3-4 pounds a piece, easy.
Well, yeah, the whole plate by the time they got done, but just that one half the plate was a couple of pounds.
We had to serve the pie on separate plates because there wasn't any room on the plate for the pie.
Yeah, I don't even know how they made room.
And some of them didn't have room for everything we had.
Yeah. Well, I went up there, and it was really great to see. Here's the point, folks. It's really great if you could just see the happiness on these people's face, you know, and the warmth that they feel. They're actually getting a dinner, and it has, you know, love. Like, well, in the words of our next-door neighbor, Darcy. Darcy pops in and says, you know, she's talking to somebody. I don't know who she's talking to. She's always talking. But she said something to the effect of, yeah, I've been to around about 3 places, but this place is the most like grandma's is.
And I had 2 men come tell me exactly the same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the guy that said something about the black van, and then I don't know who the other guy was, but he was an old guy with short blonde hair. But, yeah, I don't really remember names. I just remember faces.
Right. Well, when you meet thousands and thousands of people over a period, like I say, this was our 19th Thanksgiving. And, you know, which I'm really excited about it in a sense because in it, not that 20 years is going to make any kind of milestone or anything, but it's just something to think about. We'll start our 20th year in June.
I just thought of something. The Lord says you have confirmation out of 2. I guess I got my confirmation out of 3. I guess I cook like grandma.
I don't know. I didn't want to talk about that. In fact, I think I have a headache. Anyway, so, you know, we were really tied up over there. I missed the radio. It's going to be taking us into something else. But over this whole season in November, it's been full for us. What happened just a couple of days ago?
Oh, my goodness. I've been so scatterbrained. I'm ready for December. On the 2nd, my new daughter-in-law, on the 2nd, Bubba's wife's birthday.
Now, who's Bubba?
That's my middle son.
Joshua, your middle son.
Our middle son, okay. And then on the 7th, it was his birthday. Then on the 10th was Amanda, our other oldest son's wife's birthday and their wedding day. They got married on her wedding day. So then on the...
They got married on her wedding day.
They got married on her birthday. I'm sorry. It was their wedding day birthday, so it was both for her. And then on for Thanksgiving, I had things to do all that from Tuesday to Friday. And then on the 27th, Danielle's birthday is the 2nd, Bubba's is the 7th, and they got together. Their first date was the 27th, so they got married on the 27th in November. And they've been together 2 years now, but this was their wedding day. And we had a snowstorm on Sunday when I was going to go order their cake because they want 24-hour to 48-hour notice. Well, I couldn't go nowhere because I had a snowstorm. So I got on the phone, and nobody wanted to do a wedding cake over the phone because they wanted details, make sure, go over things, make everything was right. Well, the last phone call, I thought I was talking to a place in Newton, and we specifically went over addresses and everything. I do not know how I got mixed up, but I took my son to the dentist in Wichita on the 26th to get his braces adjusted, and I told him I'd pick it up after that, and I was supposed to pick it up at 4, so I called the place and told him I'm running late. We're just now leaving at 3:30. They said, oh, don't worry about it. It's ready to go. Well, I got to the place and there was no cake. They don't even have a cake decorator because she quit and they weren't taking orders for cakes at this point in time. So I got on the phone and called, and it just so happened that day in the dentist's office, I cleaned my calls. All my calls were gone out of my phone. So I'm like bawling like a baby, and the manager of the place I was at said, oh, well, if we can't find it and you can't find it, I'll just make you one myself. Oh, I'll do it at 6 in the morning. You can pick it up at 1. I said, the wedding's at 3. What if it is? She says, don't worry. Just calm down. I kept telling my son, calm her down. So anyway, I found it. It was the last place I called, so I had to go back to Wichita. It was a mile from the dentist's office where I already had been. But 3.5 hours later, I found the wedding cake.
Okay. Okay. Really?
I'm ready for December.
Yeah, well, that brings other things, too. But anyway... So we had a great Thanksgiving. So my point is during this season, we just went through two major events in our life, which is we had two weddings. Two of my oldest son and my middle son both got married, and my 17-year-old isn't ready for that yet. So we had two boys that got married during November, and then we did Thanksgiving, and so that was a lot.
Plus, I'm anxiety-ing over my youngest because January 27th, he'll be 18.
Oh, quit. it sure is a good thing, folks. We do have a break, and we can go to break, and, you know, maybe we can do something about her during break time. But anyway, go to our website. Check us out at prophecyhour.com. And, yeah, this program is mainly going to be about things, but when we get back, we're going to talk about what happens in December. And basically, we're just doing an update because we're trying to share with our radio family what we're about. Anyway, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin. You're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, we spent the first half of the program talking about why we were gone. We were talking about Thanksgiving, and I think we kind of sewed that up, but we showed that our whole month was just really, really full. But now we're coming into something different. You realize, folks, that next week, well, I guess that's next week.
It's this Sunday at dark.
Is that the second?
Yes.
So what happens this Sunday at dark?
It is Hanukkah.
Okay.
Festival of Lights, Hanukkah.
Yeah, we're still trying to teach her. She should forget to think she's just talking to me. No, yeah, we have to talk kind of up to the microphone. Anyway, so... Yes, the Feast of Hanukkah is upon us. And in short, I've got a little brief right here. Many believe that, excuse me, Gwen Reed, I lost my voice.
Okay. Many believe that our Messiah, the light of the world, was conceived on the Festival of Lights, Hanukkah. The Bible does not specifically say the date of Yeshua's birth. It was not during the winter months because the sheep were in the pasture, Luke 2:8. A study of the time of the conception of John the Baptist reveals he was conceived about Sivan 30, the 11th week, Luke 1:8 through 13 and 24. Adding 40 weeks for a normal pregnancy reveals that John the Baptist was born on or about Passover, Nisan 14. 6 months after John's conception, Mary conceived Yeshua. Luke 1:26-13. Therefore, Yeshua would have been conceived 6 months after Sivan 30 in the month of Kislev, Hanukkah, was the light of the world, conceived on the festival of lights, starting at Hanukkah, which begins on Kislev 25 and continues for 8 days, and continuing through the 9 months of Mary's pregnancy, one arrives at the approximate time of birth of Yeshua at the Festival of Tabernacles, is Sukkot.
Yeah, that's Sukkot. And it makes sense. You know,
and they both fit because the Festival of Lights, Sukkot, Tabernacle Among Us.
Okay. Are you done? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, you know what, I got a little article here for you I'm gonna share with you. You know, Yeshua, okay, let's go with this. Yeshua is the light of the world. Now, the feast of, I'm just going to talk and say using that. So Hanukkah, for the most part, people don't understand what Hanukkah is. Hanukkah is when you see the Maccabees, you know, and this is in those books that the Vatican and other people took out of the Bible. But anyway, in Maccabees, it talks about a time when the Jews were, you know, in captivity, and then they fought back. There was a revolt, and they fought back, and they took the temple back. When they got the temple back, the temple was desecrated because they'd even slaughtered pigs in on the altar, you know, during the feast. Well, not during the feast, well, all the time. They slaughtered the pigs. Well, that defiled the temple. And so Hanukkah is actually the word for it, is the feast of dedication, you know. And so that's when we, you know, rededicate ourselves to Yahweh every year. But that's the time that they rededicated the temple, Hanukkah. And the feast lasted for 8 days. The miracle story that people say, some say it's true and some say it's just an old, like a wise tale, and others say that, you know, it absolutely is true, or legend, whatever, is that when they lit the menorah for the 8 day festival, there was only enough oil to burn, they could find to burn the menorah. And these are huge menorahs. These aren't like something little you see on a table or something. These are huge menorahs that reach up into the sky, and they fill them with oil. And they light the candle, light them, and they would burn for eight days. But there was only enough oil for 1 day. But no matter what, the menorah just kept burning and burning until the end of the feast. Now, so people say, so we call it the Festival of Light. This is a feast of the light. Well, what light came into the world? Well, the light that came into the world was Yeshua. And so he was, in fact, conceived during this time. And there is actual biblical evidence. If you go there, and I've sent links over to my page, to my pastor's page, to show you this. Now, Yeshua preached 3 sermons in which he declared himself the light of the world. And all these 3 could have been on Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights. It's not clear from, anyway, here's one of them. Then Yeshua said unto them, yea, in a little while is the light with you. That's him. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness, not knowing whither he goeth, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. These things spake Yeshua, and departed, and hid himself from them. Now, this was during Hanukkah. Now, just before Yeshua announced that he was the light of the world, Yeshua had shone upon the conscience of those who accused the adulteress. Remember, read the story in John chapter 8. John also records Yeshua healing a blind man, John 9:1-12, on at about the same time. Also, you can find some other things you need at John 8:12 and John 9:5, that Yeshua declared himself to be the light of the world. Well, when did the light come into the world? Well, on Hanukkah. And listen to this. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went his way, therefore, washed, and came seeing. Now, this was during Hanukkah time. Anyway, the story of Hanukkah can also be prepared. Now, listen, you know, remember, we are Prophecy Hour. We are a radio program that deals with the end times. So what's Hanukkah got to do with anything? Well, first off, we should be celebrating it as the day of conception, the day that Yeshua was brought, the light was actually brought into the world. And that even matters, you know, because let's go with this. At conception is when life begins. It's not at when the baby pops his head out. It's at conception. So therefore, the light came into the world then. Let's go on with this. So how can this be compared to the end time? The story of Hanukkah can be compared with the end time happenings described in the books of Revelation and Daniel. Antiochus, which Antiochus is the guy that he's a type of Antichrist. This guy is the guy that desecrated the temple, the ruler. Antiochus is a type of Antichrist. Just as it happened under the rule of Antiochus, Daniel prophesies in Daniel 9:27 that he shall confirm the covenant for 1 week, and in the midst of the week shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of the abomination shall you make it desolate, even under the consummation that is determined, it shall be poured out upon the desolate. Anyway, the same powers promoted by Antiochus are in the world today. Worldwide immorality, idolatry are the norm. Are the normal. That's just craziness. We must come out and be separate. And that agreement has the temple of God with idols. For you are the temple of the living God. You get that? If you're the temple of the living God, why are you profaning yourself with these things that are not correct? You're not supposed to profane yourself with bad things, period. Anyway, so, okay, where do I get? Okay, and with what agreement? Okay, wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The deceiver waiting to devour this present culture. Well, if you look at the culture that's out there, you know, whether it's the partial birth abortions, so to speak, all the abortions, that's an abomination. Then you have, on top of that, and you have all this, you know, the gay marriage and all the social norms. In fact, I was reading today about a social norm now about smartphones and children. You know, children practically, you know, they get them. I mean, I see almost toddlers. Well, I repent. Toddlers play with the cell phones because parents use them as a tool to babysit. But, you know, grade school children, what I'm saying, they even start getting them, those smartphones. Well, you know, smartphones are just craziness. Now, listen to this, what I found in an article. Smartphones put our kids at risk. Because of smartphones, sexting for many are a normal part of high school. And this is from an article. As Eaton told me recently, girls at a Christian school where Axis was presenting expressed that they wished the boys there would ask them for nude pictures. In other words, in the smartphone era, this is how girls know they're wanted. So, according to the study, and even by smartphone people that were putting them out, it's the girls in a Christian school say, I wish the boys here would ask us for naked pictures, because that's how they're getting validated. If you are asked for a naked picture, then, oh, he must like me.
Oh, and that's why here in our schools in Marion County, because my grandson come home and told me, and he just went to
sixth grade.
They moved, which I think was a big mistake when they moved the sixth grades into the middle school with the older kids. They had one of the kids in the locker rooms taking pictures of them while they were taking showers and sending them to the girls in sixth grade now.
Right, in sixth grade, but we're even seeing it younger than that. But that's how they get validated, by showing their nudity.
That's crazy.
But where do they get this, you know? Practically, it's almost impossible to watch anything because everything, I mean, you know, Hollywood stars, and let's forget about the movies and things, which are bad, but if you go look at an award show, the women that come up in these award shows, you know, the stars or whatever, it's like they're barely dressed.
Right.
You know, and they're out in public and they're barely dressed. And then they come up and try to strike at Trump for his morals or talk about the conservatives about their morals. What morality do they have? They don't have morality. The way that they are acting shows that they're immoral, but they believe the immorality is good and real morality is wrong. So you see, we're in that day where it says good is evil,
and
evil is good. But by no means, you know, and it was even in the weddings that we just did, you know, I put it in there and it talks about in the Bible, it talks about how women, should adorn themselves at the, you know, as the, from the inner spirit, not from all the makeup they put. And I'm not saying makeup's wrong, and I'm not saying jewelry's wrong. That isn't the point of the scripture. But it was trying to say that the inward beauty is the big deal. You know, that's what should be admitting. You know, I can remember at, when I was young, you know, I mean, if you barely saw a part of, you know, people freaked, let's go with that, people freaked out when miniskirts came. And miniskirts were just really just right above the knee at first. And, you know, that was a dramatic thing. But now, they don't, you know.
Well, when I was growing up, it was bikinis, swimming suits. We never were allowed to wear them. We had to wear one piece or not go swimming.
Well, that's not a bad thing. But my point is you know, from a man's point of view, it's the mystery more than all of that revealing, right. You know what I'm saying?
And a bikini is just like wearing your underwear. It's a bra and a pair of underwear. I've never really liked bikinis at all.
Well, and you know, and I really don't get that because, you know, a person could be standing there in her underwear and you go, oh, wow, look at that. She's in her underwear. Well, and then, but then if through a bikini, the bikini shows more than the underwear.
Underwear, that's right.
But, yeah, what? Well, one's right and one's wrong, you know. But, of course, now it's okay to walk around in your underwear anyway. You may not realize it, but there are many cities in the United States of America where actually nudity is legal. It really is. Public nudity is legal as long as it's you know, period. It is legal in some cities, like New York City. Actually, nudity is legal in New York City. It's just craziness. It's just craziness. We do have this country and the world turning to into Sodom and Gomorrah.
It used to be indecent exposure.
Yeah, if you went out and you did that, it would be, you could go out, if you went out in your underwear, it was indecent exposure.
They didn't even allow underwear commercials.
Yeah, exactly. That happened, that changed just right before we moved here. I remember that they used to, on TV, if they wanted to advertise underwear, they did it on mannequins. You know, they'd point to it on mannequins. And they just...
Well, the Fruit of the Loom, they had men dressed up as fruit.
Yeah.
And they just showed the underwear not on a person.
Yeah.
It was men dressed up as fruit.
Yeah. and now it's practically nothing. But here's the immorality of the things. And that's why, you know, people say, well, we're in a culture clash. No, we're in end-time battle for our very souls, because this is what's going on, you know, and those norms are taking over people, and it's just disgusting. We, when it says be clean and be separate, we have to live here, you know, the wheat live among the tares live among the wheat until the time of the end, and then, you know, that's when Yeshua returns. But the point is that we are stuck in the world with the evil people. We have to live as a light to let Yeshua's light shine through us to the world at how we should be, and not be bored over by saying, well, everybody else does it, so it must be right.
I really love summer more than winter, but the way people dress nowadays, I'm thankful for the cold weather because they put clothes on.
Yeah, for the most part. And I say that I've said that on this radio program a bunch of times, just like I'm always having to run errands like to Walmart in the summertime to get things. And, you know, I want to immediately put my, you know, I need blinders because everywhere you look, there's in stages of undress.
Well, think about me. I most places I go, I have my younger son and my two grandsons and my three granddaughters, and you think I want them looking at women with no clothes on, let alone the girls? I don't want them dressing like that. And I know their dad wouldn't allow it, but they see it out there, you know what? It's crazy. People need to start putting clothes on, shoot. And guys are starting to dress that way, too. Walk around in short shorts, and who cares about men being in shorts
anyway? But they're
anyway.
Also turning, they're also they're trying to feminize men and putting men in women's clothing.
It's crazy, I know, and I see it right here in Wichita. It's disgusting looking.
But that should be one of the clearest signs of the end for everybody, because it said that the world would be as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, as in the days of Noah. These are the things that were going on at that time that are going on right now. And the immorality thing is just widespread. I'm just so thankful that apparently we must have did something somewhere right, because you know, here's our boys. They wanted to live. They could have lived with these women, just, you know, lived with them.
Right.
But they made the choice. They all made the choice, and the girls did too. They wanted to actually be married. You know, they wanted to have a ceremony and so on and forth. They wanted actually to be married. So, and that is great. They also don't ever want to leave the small town that we're in. You know, they love it. They don't, you know, really venture out much, and neither do we, really. We don't get out, but I dread anymore going out in public at all.
And they hate Wichita. They've been there their whole life to the church, but they hate Wichita. They hate being around people. Because they know how they are.
Yeah.
They just don't. They don't like to leave Florence. You got to beat them to get them to go anywhere.
Well, and it isn't, folks. It doesn't mean that they don't mind being around people in general, but it's not people. It's, you know, we'll call
crime.
Them city dwellers,
right?
And crime and all the stuff that's going on. And they're not.
They've grown up in that neighborhood. They know we're in one of the worst neighborhoods, even though they haven't lived in Wichita. They've heard enough of the stuff, and they've seen enough of the stuff that goes on. They know it's a terrible place, and they don't like it.
Right. But, you know, anyway, so the society is just getting completely crazy. But anyway, let's push us back a little bit. So anyway, December, now, and Hanukkah varies at different parts of December, and sometimes it's even been earlier than December, as a month.
Yeah, last year I think it was right during the other holiday too.
Yeah,
they coincide sometimes.
Right. Okay. And so, but here's my point. You know, so you folks out there, if you're believers in Yeshua, then you or claim to be Christian, you should be keeping Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the feast, the festival of lights. It's a time of rededication. Now how do we do it? We light a menorah, but do we light it all on one day? How do we do that?
We light the menorah on the Sabbath with one candle every day for 8 days of the Hanukkah. You have a menorah and a Hanukkah. You light the menorah, and then you light the Hanukkah.
Right, but that's on the Sabbath. But Hanukkah doesn't always start.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Don't mix them up. Hanukkah varies. It doesn't necessarily start on a Sabbath. In fact, I'm not sure which day December 2nd is.
It's Sunday.
And so that's not a Sabbath. So we just light the first candle on it, and we have a booklet that we read out of, and we do the Hanukkah story a little bit every night. And then we do have a celebration at the Mission Church also. But we light different sets of candles. We relate the story every night, and that's what we do. But we concentrate on Yeshua, who is the light of the world. This is the time that he was conceived. This is the time he actually came into the world. It's not the time he stepped out on the ground, so to speak, but it is the time that he was created by our Father, when the Holy Spirit was placed into Mary and created her, and there is biblical absolute evidence for it. But what? All right.
Okay. That's when we watch A Night with King, right? Is that the right one?
No,
or, no?
That's Purim.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
I gotta control all these holidays, so I get them kind of mixed around, and when they come, I know which one it is, but all the details my brain's getting where it wants to mix everything up.
Moving right along. Now we have her admit she is mixed up.
Now, sometimes.
We have an admission. Anyway, but here's the point. So you should you celebrate Hanukkah, by all means, you should celebrate Hanukkah, because Hanukkah is the time that Yeshua comes into the world. Now, you know, it tells us not to be into anything pagan. December 25th, and I'm working on a program for December 25th. Well, won't be on December 25th. It'll be the week before. But I'm going to
open.
It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
I know. I'm just saying on the 25th we're at church.
I have somebody coming on radio that we're going to do a program about December 25th and the reality of it. And no, my wife won't be on that one. It'll be a 7 p.m. program with William Strews. I asked him to come on, and we're going to talk about the origins of December 25th. And so really, you know, if you want to celebrate something, not as a replacement for Christmas, it's just, this is what you should be doing, because these are feasts. Now, and it's coming. Now, if you need more help and you need to want to know, you can go lots of places on the internet and find ways, booklets to read during that period of time and how to light the candles. If you can't find anything, email me and, I'll send you something, to show you how to do it. But believe me, when you start concentrating on Yeshua, and you can actually go get biblical evidence, and that's the big deal about the feast. There's actual biblical evidence for you to go and see why to do these things. And so, anyway, that's that. Okay, now that we came out of, now that we have came out of Thanksgiving, you know, that costs a lot of money. We've got it paid for. It's all great. But now, you know, the Mission Church, we really do need your help for everything. How are we doing, Mom? I mean, you know, don't we need to restock after all that?
Yes, of course we need to restock. We can't keep stock there, because every time we stock, we use it up.
We use it up. Yeah, well, and, you know, we really do need your support. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. I will, in fact, later on tonight, I will get that video, that YouTube thing out with the pictures from Thanksgiving. But pray about it, folks. And we also, you're listening to radio. We really do new donations for radio airtime. But, you know, if you send a donation for radio airtime, make sure that you mark it for radio airtime. Anything that comes in which is not marked for specific designation will go into our general fund, and will go to whatever the biggest need is. So,
and
folks, what?
Let me slip in there real quick. People ask me what we need. I like to tell them, pray about it, because the Lord knows what we need. And if you listen to the Lord and he tells you to give something, then he's usually going to send somebody for it. Because our needs are exactly your needs. What you need, we need. So just pray about it and listen to the Lord.
Yeah, but I don't know, imagine you need a couple of hundred paper plates or a couple of hundred forks and all those things. So please, folks, think about it. Consider what we need. And, yeah, the homeless and poor need what you need. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. And donations keep us on the air. Now, you can donate online or over the telephone or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all of that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. So pray about it, and you got about now. Talk. You got 25
seconds. Oh, now I have nothing to say, and you give me the mic?
For 20
seconds.
Oh, my
goodness.
And now you got 15 seconds.
Okay. Well, I want to apologize, because last radio program we did before Thanksgiving, I said I wanted to be on there just to tell everybody happy Thanksgiving, and it's the only thing I forgot to tell you, so I hope that you had a very happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's intelligent.
Does that make up for it?
That's between you and them. I can't control.
Okay,
them.
Well, then I'll tell you. Happy Hanukkah. I hope you have a very happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, amen. That starts Sunday. Okay. All right, folks. Remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And And through him, and only through him, is a way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch. We'll